This is Paul Nichols, your host, and you're listening to It's Your Money, the podcast that pulls back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposes the truth about money and investing. Welcome, once again, if you're a regular listener, and welcome for the first time if you're not. This is our first recording and first show for February 2011, and our show is designed to pull back the curtain and expose the truth about the financial services industry, because it is filled with a lot of misinformation. A lot of people are intimidated by the industry. They shouldn't be. It's relatively simple. You don't need to know everything if you have a coach teaching you the few right things. And I hope you have a coach. If you don't have a coach, go to our website and figure out how to get one. We may be able to help you out depending on where you are and or refer someone to you. But this is not a, I'm not here to pimp things. That's not the purpose of our show. The purpose of our show is to educate. We believe that education leads to clarity. Clarity can result in confidence, and the byproduct of confidence can be peace of mind. And so we come on weekly or thereabouts to share some academic truths with those of you that have the constitution to handle the truth, so to speak. And today I'm going to do that, what I normally do, and talk about the market update. This will be the first market update for February 2011. And by the way, before I get into that and my reasoning behind doing the market update, it's interesting. I was got a hold of this from a friend of mine who happens to be another investor coach, actually in Jersey. He's out in New Jersey. I say that with affection to all you Jerseyites. Would that be the right term, Jerseyites, New Jerseyans, whatevers? Yous knows what I'm talking about. Anyway, January, this is interesting. January was a great month for the stock market. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up about 2.7%. Go team! The S&P 500 Index was about 2.4% in the green direction, yay team. It was the best January in the market in the last 14 years. Ain't it great? This is why we're in the market. This is why we believe the market is the best wealth-producing entity known to man. If you understand the dynamics, harness them. Don't get too emotional. You too can benefit from what we've seen in the market, which is just extraordinary the last couple of years, with as high as close to 100% gain in international market arena in 2009. Small was healthy into the 20-25% range in gain last year. It's a beautiful thing. When you don't fight the forces, you don't try to beat the market, it's a beautiful thing. But I'm starting to get off on a tangent, aren't I? Let me get back on track. Back to the Dow Jones and the S&P being up for January, and the best January we've had in the market in 14 years. Wow. Does this mean we're going to have a great year? Well, I don't know, and who does know? And anyone that applies to know, you need to get away from them as soon as prudently possible. But it was the best January in 14 years. We don't know what's going to happen, whether it's going to be a good year or a bad year, but there's something called the January barometer, and this says, in fact, that we will have a good year because it is widely followed stock market indicator that basically says as January goes, so does the rest of the year. But ladies and gentlemen, friends, it is simply another marketing technique, or can we call it investing hype, H-Y-P-E, or an investing myth, M-Y-T-H, myth or hype? I'm not sure. But the January barometer works this way. If January is an up month, it could mean a good year for the stock market. But if January is a down month, well, this means that it would probably be a pretty dismal year for investors. Wouldn't it be nice? You may have heard the recent statistics as it relates to the Super Bowl winners. You know, if the AFC wins over the NFC, et cetera, kind of interesting. In fact, it was a good game last night. I am recording this on February 7th, Monday, February 7th. But anyway, back to the January barometer. So what's the truth? Well, economists refer to the stock market as a leading economic indicator, the direction of which is determined by basically the wisdoms of the crowd. See, this is why it makes it impossible to beat the market, because the market's not logical. It's based on can we say 6 billion people that make up our global economic economy? To put it another way, if in January millions of buyers and sellers out there believe that the market and the economy will be better in, say, 6 to 12 months, then stock market prices would normally increase. On the other hand, if the wisdom of the crowds believe that the market will be lower in 6 to 12 months, then the stock market will drop accordingly for that month. So clearly, in January, the masses of investors believe that things will be great not now, but in 6 to 12 months from now, i.e. having a very nice, respectable up January for 2011. Of course, that is the definition of a leading economic indicator. What's interesting about this is, well, what about February and March and so on, or the rest of the year? Well, how will investors feel then about the prospect 6 to 12 months further down the line? The answer is nobody knows. Who knows? I don't know. You don't know. Anyone that implies to know or makes any inference to know, I believe, has some ulterior motive, which would require a red flag on my part to go up. So how should educated investors react? Well, just like we talk about every week, ladies and gentlemen, when we do the market update, we believe the market's efficient. You want to practice modern portfolio theory, the concept of dissimilar price movement. We don't know whether small is going to be up or large is going to be up or value is going to be up or growth or international or cash or whatever. So we want to own it all. In fact, this leads me to a few investor questions that I'm going to share with you, but let me just scream through the market update, especially for those of you more religious listeners. And let's talk about the market update as of market close, February 4th, 2011. That would have been a Friday, the first Friday in February 2011. Let's start with the Russell 25 index. I'm sorry, the Russell 2500 index, which measures the performance of small to mid-sized companies in the U.S., predominantly growth. And we are up 3.7%. Yay, team, almost 4%. Ain't it great? I'm glad I own small. I hope you own small companies as well. How about the Russell 2000 index, which measures the performance of small to very small companies, which is predominantly in the growth arena as well. These would be small to micro-sized companies. And it's up a little over 2% for the year as of February 4th, 2011. Again, isn't it wonderful? It's green. Then we go to the Russell 2000 Value, which measures the performance of small value companies in the U.S. equity universe. And so far, we're about 1.75% for the year to date, as of close February 4th, Friday. Russell 1000, I think this is one of the higher asset classes so far this year. This measures the performance of large U.S. value companies. Now remember, friends, from other shows and information you can find on our website, financialabundanceinc.com, financialabundanceinc. In fact, I believe you can just Google my name or Financial Abundance. We should pop up in the first page. But what is the difference between a value and a growth company? Well, value companies are simply considered what we call unexcellent or distressed companies. And we should expect a higher rate of return for investing in an excellent company over a growth company, i.e. the term value over growth. So the Russell 1000 Value Index is 4% up for this year. Ain't it great? And the S&P 500 is actually above that at 4.25. S&P 500 is widely regarded as the best single gauge of the U.S. equity market. And it is a world-renowned index that includes 500 leading companies in the U.S., predominantly U.S. large growth companies. So in the U.S. equity universe, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is a wonderful thing. We're 1 to 4% up in each asset class, respectively. Bravo. Yay, team. Well done. Well done, American investors. Well done with your optimism and not pessimism. You know, that really is what drives the market. We've talked about that. In fact, it's interesting. I was reviewing some old radio shows before I'd given up my syndicated radio show from 2008. And it was interesting. Some of the notes I had as it relates to the bailout and what's transpired since then. I was saying on the radio show it had nothing to do with economics. It had all to do with politics. If it had not been in an election year and the pessimism had not been spread as thick as it was, I don't believe people would have reacted so abruptly. And then, of course, it followed suit as the market dropped and people pulled more money out of the market. And the market would drop some more and then more people would pull money out of the market. And then finally, after our new president came into office and started to realize, hey, he started to becoming more presidential, making that transition, which I would imagine would be very difficult as a politician to make a transition from the campaign trail to actual decision-making and policy. But anyway, when President Obama started talking about the economy, talking it back up, of course, the market turned. So ain't it great? For those of you that have had your money on the sidelines the last couple of years, well, I'm sorry to hear that. You've missed out on some extraordinary growth in our stock market. Extraordinary. Absolutely extraordinary. 1 out of 3 years is down. 2 out of 3 years is up. It's interesting. Many of you, ladies and gentlemen, if you did not get double-digit returns net of fees last year, you need to analyze what you're doing. You need to stop what you're doing and do something different. If you're trying to do it yourself, get more educated. If you're working with a planner or a registered representative, you might want to find another one because there's no reason why last year anybody that was invested prudently and properly in the market last year should have had anything less than a double-digit return. So the market update for the U.S. as of February 4th, 2011 is very good. It's a beautiful thing. If it keeps up at this pace, it's going to be another wonderful year. Ain't it great? Let's go on to international, where we want to look at the Morgan Stanley Capital International World Index, which measures developed countries like Germany, Greece, Spain, Singapore, Sweden, Switzerland, United Kingdom, Netherlands, Belgium, Canada, Denmark, to name a few. It's up 4%. Ain't it great? How about the Morgan Stanley Capital International Emerging Markets Index? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's the only one in the negative territory. The Emerging Markets, Morgan Stanley Capital International Emerging Markets Index, which is designed to measure performance of emerging markets, these would be Argentina, Brazil, Chile, China, Colombia, Czech Republic, Egypt, Hungary, India, Indonesia, Israel, Korea, Malaysia, Mexico, Morocco, Peru, Philippines, Poland, Russia, South Africa, Taiwan, Thailand, and Turkey is down about 2%. So whether Egypt is dragging that down, I can't say. I haven't dissected the emerging markets index, but the index as a whole, which is all I'm concerned about at this juncture, is down about 2%. That doesn't mean we're going to get out of it. We're going to own it. We're going to rebalance just like we were supposed to. We're going to buy more of it, buy it back up to the percentage it's supposed to be in the portfolio. It matters not, ladies and gentlemen, what the social, economic, political environment is. Well, our portfolio, my portfolio, your portfolio should never change. It should not reflect the ebbs and flows of the social, political, and economic environment in our country. And by the way, on a side note, your portfolio, if it's well diversified, should not be running lockstep with any one of these indexes or indice in plural I'm mentioning. If your portfolio is running lockstep with the S&P 500, ladies and gentlemen, logically, through just deduction, what would that tell you? Well, if it's running lockstep with the S&P 500, it's probably predominantly U.S. large companies and not well diversified. Let's move on to the Morgan Stanley Europe, Australia, and the Far East Index, known as the EAFE, Europe, Australia, and the Far East, and it's designed to measure the equity performance of developed markets, excluding the U.S. and Canada, and it's just shy of 4%. So overall, ladies and gentlemen, we have a marketplace that is very positive, a very positive environment around the country. We see respectable growth. This is why we're in the market and not in CDs. I mean, in a well-diversified portfolio, you should basically own all the asset classes. For those of you that are cowering in the corner as it relates to the market, it's predominantly, I would suggest to you, because of a lack of education, because you would not be doing that if you had the confidence and clarity and understanding of the dynamics of the market, how it works where the returns come from. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't need to know that much. You just need to know the few right things. With that being said, let me pimp my site, Financial Abundance Incorporated. Financial Abundance Incorporated, or Google us and type in Financial Abundance Investor Coach or Paul Nichols, and we should come up in the top page. And there is a plethora. Yes, I pulled plethora out of the bag again today, a plethora of information on the website pertaining to investing and insurance and long-term care and taxes and yada, 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 sim boom bada. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get into a few listener questions. I have been inundated. Is that the right word? Barraged would probably be a better word. With questions of late. I don't know what's triggered this massive search and quest for knowledge, but I welcome it. And as a result, I'm going to answer a few questions as I quench my thirst. Let's see here, ladies and gentlemen. Let me find one that I think would pertain to most of you out there. And I'm going to be brief as time is ticking away. So let me find a couple here that I think would apply. Here's one. Pardon me, I'm a little congested today. I have heard your example of sunscreen and umbrellas as it relates to diversification. But if you buy both, don't they just cancel each other out? How do you make money that way? So this person has obviously heard me use the analogy of suntan or sunscreen and umbrellas. You never know whether the sun's going to be shining or it's going to be raining outside. And a prudent investor, according to Harry Markowitz and the Nobel laureate for modern portfolio theory, he suggests that you want to own asset classes that have dissimilar price movement. So this person's question is, well, wait a minute. If I own umbrellas and suntan lotion, one's up and one's down, don't they cancel each other out? Well, logic would lead us to that conclusion. I could see that. But what you have to realize is the stock market in a picture is like going up a flight of stairs with the yo-yo. If you were playing with the yo-yo, it goes up and down. Volatility short-term goes up and down. But long-term, the market has always gone up. Let's take it a step further. If we were to look at what I just shared with you, the market update, that was predominantly positive with the exception of one area, that being emerging markets. Well, if we were to rebalance right now, for example, ladies and gentlemen, because everything but one asset class would be up, wouldn't we sell out of several asset classes and win by rebalancing and buying up more emerging markets? So we are selling at a high point and buying at a low point. I submit to you they don't cancel each other out, but in part they may cancel each other out, but the market overall is higher than it's lower. Two out of every 3 years is up, one out of every 3 years is down. It has a two-thirds bias. So logically, in very simple terms, I could see where you come to the conclusion that it would cancel itself out. But when you look at the market update this month or in previous months or the close of last year, we had so many asset classes that were up, we didn't know which one was going to be up before the year was out. So as usual, we own all of them, and they didn't cancel each other out. But in fact, they were predominantly all up to the tune of roughly about 25%. So it's exciting when you really understand how simple investing really can be. Listen to this question. I found this one to be rather interesting. And this gentleman writes in, I found an outfit on the computer, I'm assuming he means the internet, that suggests the buy low, sell high model is wrong. They say, quote, buy momentum and sell higher, unquote, end quote. The question, that seems to make sense to me, buy a stock that is trading upward and sell it right after it peaks. What do you think? Well, this is simply another form of stock picking, and if stock picking worked, I would be all for it. The challenge, though, is generally after the fact. It comes with what we call hindsight bias, that we know whether or not we've made the right choice. And really, stock picking suggests that there is information out there that could lead us to find value in a mispriced stock. But we believe, and in fact all the academics believe, that the market reacts efficiently and all the prices of goods and services are figured in. So for someone to say that obviously we want to sell high and buy low, that's why you rebalance regularly, disciplined, and on a disciplined schedule with filters, et cetera, but the whole concept of buy momentum and sell higher is exactly what active trading really is. And active management doesn't work. At least there's no science to support it. In fact, let me tell you a quick story, and I'm going to end my show with this. There was a gentleman by the name of Benjamin Graham. Well noted, you could Google Mr. Graham. Mr. Graham was a had written a book called, I think it was called Securities and Fundamental Analysis of Stock Picking. Don't hold me to that. But he had written this book back in the 30s, and it had become, in a very short period of time, what we refer to as the stock picking Bible. It introduced a concept of fundamental analysis and the idea that you can study where a company's at and as a result find value and pick stocks, et cetera, et cetera. Well, this really kicked off the beginning of the stock picking craze that went on for many decades to follow, and I believe you will find it is simply the mantra that has continued to be propagated today. Well, the interesting thing about Mr. Graham is in the 70s, I believe it was 1974, on his deathbed, he had recanted the whole concept of stock picking. And I don't remember the quote exactly, I'm going from memory, but something to the effect that stock picking analysis does not work anymore. It used to work, it doesn't work anymore, that I'm more a proponent of buying the entire marketplace. So stock picking is a way, in my opinion, to elicit activity and trades where fees can be generated under the guise of trying to beat the market. I challenge you to find or point to anyone that's done it consistently. So your question is simply just another variation of stock picking and elicits hyperactive trading. That's Paul's opinion. And who am I? Well, I'm the investor coach. Been doing this a few years now. Paul Nichols, the host of It's Your Money, pulling back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposing the truth about money and investing. You don't need to know everything if you have a coach teaching you the few right things. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't checked out Facebook and Financial Abundance on Facebook, I encourage you to do that. And if you like the show, then go ahead and like us on Facebook. And as a result of that, for those of you that do listen to the show regularly, you can become part of weekly little coaching tidbits that we send out on a regular basis. In fact, we're sending one out today, Monday. So if you want to check us out that way, please do. Again, our website is full of information. There's a bunch of required reading or recommended reading on the website. There's literally hundreds of hours of podcast and radio shows. There is a year's worth of videos from the NBC Investor Coach Archive when we were the Investor Coach for Channel 6 here in Central Pennsylvania. So check us out. Lots of information. We are here to educate, to pull back the curtain. I hope that this information and the time that we take to put in this information, I know, enriches my life. I hope it enriches yours as well. You're listening to Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach, pulling back the curtain. If you'd like to contact us other than our website, you can simply email me at Paul N at financialabundanceinc.com. Financial Abundance Inc. Go to our website, Google, Facebook. Have a great day. Hope this finds you well.